And welcome back to the Pet Cash Pod presented by Profluence Sports. As always, I appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Andrew Pet Cash. You can listen to all the other episodes at profluence.com/podcast. We did an awesome one today with Scott Mendelson. He is the head of analytics at Duper, and also Tito Mochado. He is the CEO and president of Duper. If you don't know what Duper is, they are the scoring system across all of pickleball. We go into the logistics of how they've built it, what they're looking at, how they're integrating AI, how they're going downstream into college, pickleball as a whole and the growth that they've experienced, and then also their recent $8 million raise, which included an investment from the Rain Group and also famous racket sports star Andre Agassi. All in all, it was a great episode. Tons to learn and take away from this. We did have some problems with the Wi-Fi, so my first question gets cut off. You won't hear me tee it up for Tito, but he starts answering it, and it's just around his background and what led to Duper. So let's dive right into that right now.
In my case, I come from the tennis world. I was working in tennis ratings for a company named UTR. I come from coaching. You know, I came to the U.S. to play college tennis, so I was a tennis geek. And in 2022, my former boss didn't stop talking about the thing called pickleball that is exploding, it's taking over the country. So I actually flew down to Phoenix, Arizona, and I went to see a PPA event at Legacy. This almost felt like a Mad Max experience because, you know, I've never been in Phoenix, got out of the airport, and suddenly I'm driving to a facility with 40-something courts in the middle of the desert. And when I got there, it was a little bit of a, where the hell am I? What is this? This is wild. And I walked through the venue and I saw 3,000 people having white gloves and playing pickleball, Tyson McGuffin walking around with tattoos and getting signing autographs, concerts. And for me, that was a little bit of an aha moment. You know, Duper was like, it was a slight presentation. It wasn't even a thing. And it was starting to be a thing, but, you know, no one really knew about it. It was kind of a risk. But the second I saw the event, the second I saw the community more than anything, it was truly an aha moment. I was like, I need to get this early. This is a great opportunity. This sport is going to change. It's going to change the way that we're thinking about racket sports in America and in the world.
Yeah, and you're coming at it more a little bit from the business side, Tito. Scott, I know you have a deep background more on the analysis financial side, but how did that line up for you on, I don't know if you were thinking, oh, I'm going to be analyzing pickleball analytics and breaking
Never
down this going. Yeah, but love to hear a little bit of your journey into it as well. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so really just for me, it was a really interesting problem. I started doing the numbers, you know, computing the ratings, computing random stuff for MLP back when Duper and MLP were the same, MLP's Major League Pickleball. And we were kind of originally part of that organization and spun out. And so I was just doing ad hoc sports analytics. I've always been a fan of sports analytics, but never played pickleball, never really did tennis beyond a young age. And so this whole world was kind of new to me, but coming into it, it was a fascinating data problem that looked sorely unstudied in just the entire universe of ratings. It's a really complex problem. It's a really interesting problem. There's a lot of modern developments in sort of just data, network analysis, epidemiology. There's all these different fields that study things. And then you can go and say, I'm applying it to a game, to a sport. Like it just makes it that much more fun. And it's completely different to anything I'd ever done before in finance and just getting to solve a really interesting problem with a bunch of people who are super passionate and learn a sport on the way. Now I play regularly. I'm in a league. I have a Duper rating like that, you know, I've completely bought in as a result of loving how the numbers work.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying before we got started here, never to be in a rush, but I was like, I got a pickleball match I got to get to, funny enough. And just funny how the world and the universe works on timing, coincidences and stuff. So I think all of us have sort of fallen in love with it. Now, give us the rundown, especially for people outside of the pickleball world, of what Duper is and, you know, exactly not only the company, but the algorithm and some of the juice behind it before we get too deep into everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the core of what we are, you know, we're a data analytics company with the heart of it being this rating algorithm that gets all of the players under the same scale between 2 to 8. regardless of where they're in the world, their, you know, who they are, gender, age. So that's the core of what Duper is, right? And around that concept, we've built community. We've created a consumer-based app. You know, we're adding feeds. We are trying to truly be the Strava of the space, but always take into account that the rating is the great equalizer. It allows us to find play in our city, to find players and have fun. One of the big things that we're trying to install in the community is that level-based play. It's truly what the player wants. You know, you want to go and have fun and engage in experience and find other people in your community that are at that level, right? Regardless of who you are, as I said before. Now, on top of that, right, we are trying to solve a bunch of problems with the community, right? And making sure that, you know, club owners don't have to deal with drama and placing players on different groups and making sure that people feel comfortable. Right, the more that this sport grows and at the rate that the sport is growing, right, I think it's going to be more complex to solve those issues in the future. So we kind of got a clean slate that other sports didn't have because we were early enough to be able to cement Duper as the way to structure programming and play in the future of the sport, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Scott, jumping over to you. Again, we said we don't want to go too deep into it, but give us a little bit on the actual this number and what a Duper score means.
Absolutely. So I think just kind of the first step is maybe a lot of listeners might not have a Duper. So what does that, like, how do you actually go and get one? And that sort of will explain the process behind it. But all you do is you download the app, you find yourself a group of people that are either registered as a part of a Duper league, or you go to a pickleball court and you say, who wants to play a Duper game? You get both sides to agree. You play a match, you enter it, and you have a Duper rating right then and there. That Duper rating is going to be really volatile, right? We only have one piece of information about you, the game that you just played, the people that you just played against, those are moving targets. Those people's ratings are moving too, right? So we're taking the information that we get each single match that you play and gradually getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the truth. So we look at the points that you've scored. We look at how recent the match was. A match in the past is not quite as relevant to your current level of play as something you just played. We look at how many matches you've played. The more matches you've played, the more information we have about you, the more stable that algorithm is going to get. And every single match that you play factors in. So the first match that you play, you end up with the rating. It's not necessarily the most accurate rating. It's, you know, we keep trying to make that more and more accurate. But that's that initial rating is enough to get you in the door with another group of people that are going to be at that level of play. And then you just go from there. All right. My first match playing Duper, I started out in the, you know, the ballpark of everyone else. I was around a 3.5 is the average kind of baseline level of a player. Now, this goes anywhere, as Tito mentioned, from 2 all the way to 8. The kind of like top pros are in that 6.5 to 7 range from the men's side. And so when I played, I started out kind of close to a 3.5, but I did pretty well in that first round. And so I started slowly moving up to where I'm at now, which is a 4. And over time, the algo learned more and more about me just because, okay, you beat somebody who was a 3.9. So you must be a little bit better than that, or at least you played like that, right? And so it just learns that incrementally over time and your rating slowly catches up. I think one important thing to say before I cut myself off from going too deep is that this is not a rewards-based algorithm, right? This isn't saying, hey, congratulations, you beat someone. You get points for that, right? This isn't necessarily congratulatory in that sense. It does relate, you know, you do beat someone, your rating does go up. But what we're trying to do is be accurate here. So some people will say, oh, I've played a bunch of matches and my rating isn't going up. Why is that? You know, it's because it's found out a really good level of ability to predict the likelihood that you were going to beat somebody else, right? And that's what we're trying to get to. What is the chance that you can beat someone else? And when that chance is 50-50, that's an exciting game. And that's why you use Duper, is because when you have no idea, you walk into a new city, you don't know who you're playing against, you don't know anybody there, you can say, I'm a 3.75, who else is? And then you get matched up and you play and it's fun without any hassle.
As you now try to acquire users and go globally, what does that process look like and how are you buying people really into this? Because obviously there seems to be some exponential growth with each additional person helps make all the scores more accurate and better. And obviously you mentioned some of the pros are already scored on that, which certainly helps, because then that's how you can, I'm sure, judge who makes professional tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, Duper started as a sibling company with MLP, Major League Pickleball, right? A professional league. So if we want to look at the sport almost as a pyramid, right, where you have the top professionals at the top, and then, you know, we have the recreational players or the competitive players, the recreational players, and then the beginners, the people who are just getting in. We always had that top of the pyramid. I think when we started to look at growth, we always saw the opportunity with the influencer, right? With the player who is always at the club organizing play, organizing events, the social player that is always around. And I'm sure if you think about it, you know exactly who I'm talking about in the community, the one who owns the meetup group. That's the main persona that we wanted to have them buy in. We've included them in our conversations. We've kept them looking at our algo, our technology, and the things that we're building. At that level, also, we've looked at the clubs, right? The real estate, you know? Clubs are looking at how to build programming that is fun and meaningful for the players, and having that duper scale to be able to offer the right programming to the right players is key, right? Fun. As I said before, level-based play is way more fun than being in a group with people who are not at your level. So we've been massively growing at the club level. We have around 3,000 clubs on our platform right now. We are in 140 countries. And through those clubs and influencers, we've started to truly grow through acquiring players, right? We're growing at a 20% month-over-month rate right now, which is pretty well. And that's from the club activity. The more clubs that are adopting us, the more facilities and influencers, right? We're starting to really see the rest of the players coming in and buying into the Duper concept.
Yeah, the 20%, that's impressive. And I'm sure that helped lead to your recent $8 million round, which I'm sure has been done for a little bit of time, but was released recently. So congrats to both of you on that. I'm sure that they call it the honeymoon phase. Now you can just focus on building and not that side of the business, which is great. As you bring that funding in, and Scott, I'll jump over to you, but you know what goes into a lot of that?
Yeah, so I would say having a good product from a data standpoint, from an analytics standpoint, is very crucial. That doesn't necessarily require that entire budget. I think Tito's going to be able to speak to a lot of different ways that budget's getting applied. The analytics platform and the work that we've done in-house, we have a relatively lean team, you know, as far as what you'd expect from a company that's main product is analytics. But we have a really well-organized stack that is focused on, you know, coming from my background in financial algorithms and research, right? So how do you structure this for long-term success? How do you build upon the data that you have and keep iterating and moving forward and making sure that every single algo release is going to be an advancement? And so basically the way that that's affected me, before I pass it to Tito, is that this has basically given me the rein to create that core team of analytics that is structured under the principles of good engineering, good data science, and good just general progress-based algorithmic research that you just don't get in a company that is kind of trying to find that next dollar all the time, right? So this really opens us up by saying, okay, here's a good algo. It's going to keep getting better. Now, how do we go and apply this? And that's where kind of all the additional, you know, that's where I think Tito can really speak to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we said before, right, the core of what we do is this rating and the algorithm. And now the key through this new investment is, you know, building the tools and technology to provide a great experience, not only for the player, but for the club and the provider of the experience, right? Those are the things that we're going to start creating. We have a really exciting roadmap for engagement, right? The other big thing about this new group coming in is that, we have industry experts in the technology space that have done this before, that have taken apps like us to the next level, and really excited about this project. And I think that's you know, I'm not saying that the passport wasn't, but we were always, you know, MLP's nerdy little brother, right? And I think now we're on our own with this board that wants to take us to the next level, and we are creating a roadmap that is truly going to excite the consumer. So from engagement tools, from Strava to other many apps that are doing, we're taking the best ideas from the best places, and as well, of course, incorporating it to our sport and what the player wants and the consumer wants. And we're going to we're going to keep delivering on those tools. I think for us, you know, it's clear that you know, we are the game in town, you know, first to market. We've grown so much. Everyone is obsessed with us. And now we want to return the love to the community with all of the technology and tools that they can use to just get a better experience playing pickleball.
Yeah, and something we've seen, especially obviously this is coming out about a week after, but today there's been a lot of outages from Facebook and Instagram, and people just talk about how a lot of these platforms, you don't really, as a user, you don't really own it, but nonetheless, there's communities built, and you talked about a little bit of that. How are you creating that engagement, especially around this niche of pickleball lovers, and how do you think of it both from a product standpoint and then a business standpoint as well? And probably Scott, we'll jump to you first on more of the product and how you're using certain tools or whatever to build that engagement and community.
Yeah. So for me, really, I think that the way that I focus on it is that I try to make this an interesting problem for other people too. I think this is a fascinating problem, and there's a lot of people that are engaged in the algo per se, right? Just how does the algo work? Why is it doing what it does? How does it evaluate how we play? And then there's a group of people that are interested in this from just, you know, I want to be rated well, and I want to not care about it. And I want to use the rest of this platform to organize club meets. We just released as like a sort of a social media type feed on the app. And that's already kind of starting to pick up. Now you can say, all right, I'm going to organize games through this. I'm going to post on this. You can see all your club partnerships. And so the algorithm and the rating kind of create the nexus. But then all this other structure that Duper has that really isn't anywhere else is the kind of important part of the retention, right? You need people to care that the number is accurate. Otherwise, they don't get in the door. They need to be able to see that number, go play a match and go, yeah, that was the correct rating. That was exactly right. And then they go to the app, they log the game, they talk to their friend about it, and they come back and do it again because it was a good experience. And so for me, it's about making sure that the data process aligns with these broader goals of just, I don't want to use the word like gamification because that almost kind of implies that it's a cheap process, but it's how do you make this like a really enriching and exciting process that you want to return to? You see your updates, you see your progress, you can track your data over time, you can see who you've played against and what they've done, and just making it a really enriching data experience so that if you want to geek out, there it is, go for it. If you just want that number to make sure that you have good social play with your friends, also good.
Yeah, I think adding a little bit to Scott, you know, is that you know, the way we've built this growth and the way we're getting here is, you know, it's a stickiness, that's addiction to the number, right? People care. People care. People are gonna, you know, people are defiant of it. People we want to justify them, but it's almost like your status in the pickleball space, right? Like, I mean, I go to the park all the time, and people, without even knowing that I'm the CEO of Duper, they ask me, hey, what's your Duper? You know, and that just gets me so excited because you know you see that across. You know, I see people sharing on their Instagram when they reach that next goal, when they reach a 4-0, when they get to 5-0. You know, it's a thing. I actually saw a meme a couple days ago, someone at a club in the middle of the night checking their duper rating, and it had gone down. So hey, you know, that's the level of stickiness that we're seeing with the pickleball addict, with a niche, right? I think pickleball is a sport that is getting people completely addicted to it, and Duper is that tool within the sport that is getting people to really care about that pathway and that progression, right? So building tools up around the pathway about the growth and how to get better is what everyone wants, right? If I play golf, right, I want to make sure that my handicap, my handicap gets better. If I play any other sport, it's that progression and how to keep going through the ladder. So as I said before, right, the key here for the community, first of all, is giving the influencer, the organizer, and the people who is on top of the community tools to create community. So people can know who to play and where to play and why to play with those people. And then tools for the player to be able to, go up the ladder within the community, you know, and keep getting better and keep finding new friends and new people and keep the social aspect of the sport.
When you talk about the pathway, in most sports leagues, especially in the States, it's, we'll just say, youth to high school to college and then to professional. Pickleball, at least from a structure standpoint, has then engineered in the reverse, where professional was built first. Even Duper, like you said, was built up there, and now it's coming downstream. I know you have a bunch of interesting college initiatives. Would love for you to touch on some of them and how you're planning to build out in that space.
Yeah, for sure. College is, you know, I get goosebumps when I think about college, to be honest. You know, it's something that it was born out of, you know, a small conversation that we had in early 2022. You know, we started to see a couple of college programs pop around the country, you know, very small clubs that, you know, wanted to get a digital club. A digital club is a feature that we have in Duper. So almost you're able to create your own community within the app. And they wanted to come and run a couple of events with us and us to help them out. And, you know, through 2022, we keep seeing more and more clubs coming out and, you know, asking for help. And, hey, how can we build a league? So, yeah, we decided to run the first college national championship on late 2022 in November. And it was the most, and I promise it's not an exaggeration, but this was the most exciting sporting event I've ever been. You know, we flew 20-something schools down to us in Texas to Dreamland. We got a hotel, we got them, we all expenses paid, and, you know, $10,000 on scholarship. And we got them all onto the center court of the facility, and the energy was insane. It was one of the coldest days ever in Austin. All of the kids inside of the center court shouting and yelling, you know, celebration. The energy was like, oh my God, I think we just created something very, very special here. So from there, you know, it was, hey, how can we make sure that we are that pathway? No one else is doing that. How no one else is creating regionals and local events for college programs. So we did it. We went out there, created regionals, created a pathway. You need to get a bid to be able to play nationals, very similar to how college sports works. But obviously NCAA is not in it right now. So we've kind of come and put the flag and said, hey, we are the governing body of college pickleball. And it's just been exploding. You know, again, as I said, from 20-odd programs, we are close to 150 programs around the country. And some of those programs are starting to see scholarships coming out and kids getting full rights to play a club sport. How crazy is that? And not only that, but also some of the pros that came out of those first college national championship, like Colin Schick, went out a couple weeks later and competed with Ben Jones for a singles PPA title. So this has been a snowball process. We keep growing it. We keep getting more scholarship money behind it and more funds behind it. And it's, you know, we just got a new sponsorship with Yola, which is where the main, you know, one of the main paddle companies in the space, because people truly believe in this vision. And honestly, I have 3 or 4 calls a day of people wanting to get involved and take this to the next level.
Who won the tournament, by the way? I'm just curious.
You know, UNC, Chapel Hill. And funny enough, you know, from that team that won the first ever college national championship, Colin Schick was a pro that came out of that tournament. And also Sarah Carpenter, who now works on the data analytics team within Duper, also came from that team. So we've also created an internship. She's not an intern, but I'm saying we've created also like an internship program through it. We have people that are coming in. They want to help us with the vision and mission and help us grow this company. So this whole college program is heavily integrated in everything that we do in Duper at every level.
I'll just add on to that really quickly. We have two, just to highlight Tito's point, like we have two people working full time in the analytics team, but we have two interns as well. And we have schools reaching out to me asking if they can do basically pro bono intern work with our data because they're so fascinated by the product. And I think that really goes to establishing ourselves as the thought leaders as well as the social leaders, right? Both of these things we want to be driving forward so that people, when they're excited about any part of the sport, come to us in one way or another and try to get involved. And it just so far has been working, and it seems like it's not stopping at all.
Yeah, I appreciate you adding that, Scott. And I was going to jump to you next too on the international play around Duper as well, and maybe even differences you see between users in the States or anywhere else, or if you've even gotten there yet, and how you think about it from a product lens.
This is actually probably the most interesting problem in this space. This is why this is not chess. This is why this is not, you know, even like tennis, which has a very integrated and very sort of overlapping network of players who play each other in very regimented ways. We have people who are in random country X and random country Y, and they've never played anyone who's played anyone who's played anyone who's played the other person, right? You have these completely disconnected communities that create a really tricky problem to model, because what you're looking at is you're looking at information in this community. How does information flow? And if there are basically, you know, no bridges between two different islands of information, then information doesn't really flow between those. And this happens across, you know, different countries. This happens even across the gender spectrum, because there are people that are playing in just men's tournaments. There are people that are playing in mixed men's and women's. Then there are people that are playing in just women's. And the information has different gaps that flow between those as well, right? So the algorithm's goal is, how do you understand the best possible way of taking all of these separated pieces of information and magnifying the ability of one group of people to effectively transmit information to other groups of people? What we really find is that there are a few groups of people that do a lot of traveling, right? And they are fantastic data points, right? They go to other countries and they play. Now they've just brought their information, all the matches they've played in country A, they've brought to country B, right? And this is, you know, this is perhaps a negative term to associate with, but epidemiology, that's where this comes into play. The study of how diseases transfer, right? You sneeze in USA and then you go take a plane to China and you sneeze in China and now everybody's got the cold. With the example here, this is truth, right? The underlying truth value is that contagion. What is the actual ability of play that you have, and how does that transmit across these communities? And can we turn up the dials in particular ways to study those communicators, the people that bring this sport internationally? And as it grows, we see more and more people traveling, playing in different communities, and the information is becoming more consolidated the more data that we have. But it's really the most fascinating problem. It's the thing that got me excited about this. We have a new feature coming out called Reliability Score that is basically the study that has been inspired by PageRank's, you know, Google's PageRank has been inspired by the various fields of epidemiology, network optimization, and research. There's just so many different ways to look at this problem that aren't just sports analytics, right? They've been studied in other fields. And that's kind of the awesome part about this is you turn over a new leaf and you go, huh, there's actually a whole field of study dedicated to this, but it's in medicine. Let me go look at that. And you can learn a lot by poking around.
Yeah, and I think from, you know, adding to Scott's point of the right, finding the right player who is traveling, right? And again, it comes back to, on the business side, it comes back to the influencer, right, on the community, and who is going to that different market and playing and building that community and bringing Duper. So we've, you know, through this last 2 years, we've been looking for those different personas in different countries, and that has led to massive growth international, right? We have a big partnership in China. We're actually the leaders in the China market. We have around 20 new clubs coming from China every single month. These are new real estate facilities, right, that are opening for pickleball and players coming in, and Duper has turned into a real phenomenon over there. We were part of the India Open, of the European Open, of the English Open. So we've been really, really pushing for the international growth, and we're starting to really truly snowball, right, and see that happening. For all of those events, we sent some of these Duper ambassadors, Duper organizers, that go with a rating, and we run those rating sessions, and they serve as a baseline to get everyone else rated. And of course, they see everyone is looking at, hey, the pro sport, MLP, PPA, right, and they see that the pros have a rating. So now, hey, I see that Tyson McGuffin is this rating. I wanna follow that path. So the way that this has all developed is that Duper has truly turned into the converted in the connective tissue of the sport. And the more information that we get, the more data that we get, we're gonna be able to see players that are playing in Vietnam start to get their Duper rating up, right? And at some point, who knows, even get drafted to play MLP. That's a really exciting thing, that with having a rating like Duper, right, now you can give everyone around the world the same opportunity to climb the ladder into whatever their objective is. Might be college, might be recreational. Hey, there might be kids in Vietnam now thinking that someday they want to play in one of the MLP teams. And that's what we can provide with our rating.
It's super cool as it starts to, like, you really consolidate the data and you can have this global number that's, you play a 3-5 or you play a 4, like, it's very accurate. That'll be super cool. Now, as we sort of close out to the end, the question I like to ask everybody is just around trends. you're paying attention to. Sometimes I ask that broadly around sports, sometimes just about more niche, so just pickleball. I'll let you both sort of pick where you want to go with that, but just curious on some of the things you're paying attention to, whether in sports as a whole or just pickleball or you know, a mix of both.
Yeah. If I could actually jump in on this one, just because it relates to the question you just asked, right? International play, how do you level set this? How do you kind of compare a player in this country versus this country? With the data that you have, just scores and connectivity can be hard. I think something that's really fascinating that we're kind of looking at and tentatively exploring is, what if we had some sort of, you know, computer vision that could look at the recordings of the players and determine their skill level by comparing it to other players' recorded video, right? Or looking at the types of shots you make and the success rate, and just how do we take the data one level further, right? How do we get more data? How do we use the most cutting edge data? Now, I think from, you know, an AI, you know, perspective, that's a very hot trend, obviously. And I think AI fits in some places. We use it for fraud detection, or we're working on building that out where it kind of fits more naturally. From like a pure algo standpoint, AI doesn't make as much sense for the way that, you know, these types of algos run best. But pretty much anything's on the table here, right? We're uncovering new types of study, as we talked about in medicine, that apply here. And so we're looking at the trends, but we're also, you know, looking at the old established stuff that just happens to be from a different industry and trying to integrate it. So we're taking a really broad brush to this. But I think, you know, specifically computer vision and AI are going to be a big part of this. And it's just going to be about, how does that scale? Is that something that we can apply broadly to everybody? How do we measure the, you know, efficacy of integrating that? But it's a really fascinating problem.
Yeah, I think the other big thing is that we're doing, right, is usually you know, at the startup level, you try to do so many things. You try to run wide, and you know, it's new industry, new sport. You're trying to touch it all and see where you can land an interesting project and something that can grow into something bigger. Duper, we've taken a little bit of a different approach this last couple of months. Is the API integration route, right? We are looking at all of the innovators that have expertise in all of the different fields within the sport, and we are putting our rating inside of their platform. So right now we have 45 API integrations with, from event management softwares to video coaching to wearables, you know, fitness wearables that are that track your monitor your sleep, how that affects performance and how that's going to affect your growth within the rating. So you know, our vision here is, you know, we know what our bread and butter is. We know the things that we need to enhance and do better. And now, hey, let's make sure that our rating it's everywhere else as well, and we can get the best of every single one of these worlds to enhance the user experience.
Yeah, I love both those answers, and yeah, I'm sure we could go on for a long time, but we'll sort of wrap it up there. Tito, appreciate you coming on. Scott, appreciate you as well. Super insightful. Let us know now what's the website, socials, anywhere else we can find more or download where to get the app and start getting your score up today as well.
Yeah, no, thank you, Andrew. And everyone should go to the App Store, you know, download Duper, D-U-P-R, on the App Store, on the Google, or wherever they're getting their apps, you know. Just go and take a look, create a free account. It's free for everyone. The rating is free for everyone. So super accessible. And they can find us at Duper PB on Instagram and Twitter. So come and check us out. Come and check some of our content. And yeah, you know, again, this is the most inclusive community or in sports, pickleball is. And you know, Duper is the app of the sport. So we'll take you right in and guide you through your future pathway in pickleball.